This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Tell me, why'd you have to call me when I'm probably out getting wasted? Or if I'm home, I'm probably on the other line and I don't have call waiting. It works like this, you call and you talk at the beep and you speak, then you wait till I hear your message. Honestly, I promise you can bet I'm gonna call you later. Oh, no, no. Hey, it's Jack. You've reached my home answering machine. Or do we say voicemail now that we're in the new millennium? I don't know. Anyway, you're probably better off calling me on my cellular mobile phone, which is a Nokia 8250, in case you're interested. And yes, it's got Snake on it. But since you're here, why don't you leave me a message?
Hey, Jack. It's Tanner. Missed you at the mall today. I was hoping to see you at Zingy's, but you weren't there. While I was there, I saw that girl... Dawn? You remember her? Dawn? She moved to, like, California a few years ago and has been there ever since. I guess she's back, and she was with her stepsister, Marianne, and some other girl. And the other girl was, like, really sad in a way that made me think that someone close to her had died and that she had traveled to Connecticut in order to sort of, like, get away from that sadness and find herself, but was feeling unfulfilled by sort of quiet suburban Connecticut life, and was going to encourage Dawn and Marianne to get on a train to New York City and not tell Richard and Sharon Spear, do you know them? I think your parents are friends with their parents. I mean, with them. I think your parents are friends with them. Anyway... I don't know if they went to New York. I suspect they did. They had that fire in their eyes. And I also think that girl, Marianne Spear, is I think their house is... Do you remember when their house burned down? Anyway, their house burned down, and they moved into the barn on their property. And I think they're all just sort of struggling with finding a place where they feel comfortable. And I wish them the best. And I wish you the best, man. And I hope you're in a comfortable place right now, too. And now, maybe I'll see you at the mall tomorrow or at school or something. Okay. Maybe I'll see you online. Because now we have online because it's like 2000. Maybe I'll see you on Club Penguin. Okay. Anyway. Hope you're well. Love you. Bye.
In 86, Anna Martin wrote the first book of what became a cult. Now it's time, the Babysitter's Club.
Hi. And welcome to the Babysitter's Club.
Club.
It's me, Jack Shepherd.
And I am Tanner Greenring.
And what we like to do is talk about the Friends Forever books in the Great Sitter's Cycle, and we're kind of winding the Great Sitter's Cycle down to its final couple books. It is, of course, a series of books by Ann Matthews Martin. I am talking about, in case you don't know who that is from her actual name, I'm talking about The Hand That Shakes, The Princess of the Prince of Towns, St. Annabel Matthews Martin, she's sometimes referred to as, Stormborn, Soul Skinner, Mother of Clocks, and Bane to Bats. First of her name, of course, last of her kind, and last hope for humankind. And this week we're talking about a book that is called Babysitter's Club Friends Forever, number 11, Welcome Home, Marianne.
Oh, welcome home.
Welcome
home. To the barn.
Welcome home to the barn, Marianne.
Welcome home to your barn where you live now, like an animal.
Anne lives in a barn, and it's come full circle, hasn't it? They burned her house down. That's if you think about it, the original Sitter's Cycle, from Christie's great idea all the way to the fire at Marianne's house, is a 131 book Wheel of Time that is just about Marianne's house slowly burning down.
In a way, I guess, like, all of existence is about... all of existence slowly burning down.
Yeah.
Or I guess, and maybe then, cooling off.
This book, which is, I think, the penultimate book in the Friends Forever series.
Jesus, is that true?
Is about, they built the house back up, isn't it? Didn't
they? We're going to have to get planning if this is really the penultimate book.
It's penultimate. Then there's a super special. And then birds, I think, are going to take us and our bodies and also our soul. They'll eat our bodies, but they'll fly up with our souls, I think, is how it works.
They eat the bodies, yep. And then I think our soul is embedded in the body.
Oh, okay.
Somehow, or maybe
so they,
it's like
they kind of digest it.
Well, and they digest it in the sky, though. So we're up there somewhere, you know.
Yeah,
we're up there
so
somewhere.
Hopefully, we'll be able to squeeze a couple episodes out of that.
Can't wait for the birds to get me.
Yeah,
finally caught up with me, as they will catch up with all of us, Jack. Sonny's here.
Sonny's here this week. Yeah, Sonny's here this week.
It was a bit of a. It's kind of got a. It's got a little bit of a Cali flavor to it, doesn't it?
It's oh,
Dawn is here, Sonny's yeah. here, Jeff is here. They're
yeah.
talking about surf shops. They're talking about, you know, California living, smoothies,
yeah.
all that kind of stuff. And I don't
dudes, welcome. To
I don't remember my name.
The We Heart Kids Club.
Club.
I'm. Half Pie.
And I'm Lightsaber T. What was my
Weed
name?
Lord.
Weed Lord.
Yeah. Whoa. Cowabunga.
Cowabunga. We're the surf boys from California. We're on vacation here
yeah.
in Connecticut.
We wanted
heard
to see
that
what
there
the
was
surf
legal
was like
weed
in Connecticut.
Yeah. In Massachusetts. So we thought... Massachusetts doesn't sound very nice, but Connecticut sounds nice, and at least we can drive up to Massachusetts for the legal weed if that's what we want.
Yeah.
You know?
And we need to be near the
ocean. We're here to leaf peep.
Yeah, and we're also peeping leaves. Dudes.
So, dudes, and they're beautiful this time of year.
You know what I like to do this time of year? I like to smoke tree and peep leaves.
Nice. Hell
yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
And the only thing I don't like about Connecticut is that there's no fresh mangoes for my fruit smoothie every morning. I just have
Jeff says.
Apple and cranberry bog smoothies.
That's what Jeff says. Yeah.
Or whatever else they grow up here.
They have, don't they have a shock jock in this one?
Yes, there is a shock jock in this one.
He goes, it's going to be a scorcher, kiddies, so be cool and stay tuned to the hottest spot in Stony Brook, WSTO 1313 on your dial.
Does he say his name?
Yeah, Morning Mac.
That's cool.
Anyway, it's me, Half Pipe, and it's my friend Weed Lord here, and we're here to talk about, but we're vacationing in Stony Brook for the leaves, and Ellen Miles this week... Ellen Miles' ship rose out of the sea, and the Stony Brook Liars and Anne and the Leviathan and the Entity all showed up at the beach, and they were like, "Why are we back here again?"
Yeah,
and Ellen Miles was like, "I forgot something.
Stay here.
Stay here.
I'll be right
I forgot
back.
Something." And Anne was like, "Okay, well, I'm glad I have you because, like, I actually am shorthanded and I need someone else to do another Friends Forever just to catch you up. It's a, kind of about the dissolution of the Babysitter's Club and the Fame Wolf, and a boy called Jeremy Piven gets in between Claudia and Stacy, and we just kind of, it's the Friends Forever, and then they'll graduate." And
yeah.
Ellen is like, "No, I did a California Diaries."
What about Dawn?
"I've written a California Diary. Sonny is in it. And they do travel crimes." And it's like, what? And Ellen's just like, "It has always been." And just like hand delivers her like a manuscript that looks like it's as old as time.
This was the first time in some weeks that I didn't have a very clear understanding of what direction the Glaive Order was trying to take me in on this one.
Well, this is interesting. For folks who are trying to read the Glaive Order, I normally write down 5 books that are the Tines of the Glaive for folks who want to follow along in the Glaive Order. In this case, I was wondering, and I guess maybe you were too, whether Anne is signaling to us that the Glaive Order actually includes the California Diaries and the Mysteries.
Okay.
Is that possible? Because in this case, like, you should read, like, Sunny, Live, Die, Repeat.
I sort of thought the California Diaries and Mysteries were sort of like that weird offshoot of the Alloy series where it's Mistborn, but it's like
Brandon
the
Sanderson.
like the 30s and they're all gangsters like and have guns.
Yeah, totally.
And it's like, sure, I guess it's in the same universe, like technically, but
I mean, maybe the Glaive Order is the a better reading is that the Glaive Order is asking us to read various We Heart Kids Club themed books.
Well, it was the one that I kind of felt like was pretty thematically similar was the one where Dawn flies to California without telling anyone.
Mm. Fuck yeah, that's exactly right. So in this book, we should describe this book twice at least.
Well, we did do the voicemail at the top.
Oh, I haven't listened to that yet.
Oh, I left you a voicemail.
Okay.
I guess it wasn't necessarily a plot recap, but it sort of ended up hitting a lot of those same notes. So okay. I don't know if we need to do another one.
Well, I haven't listened to that, and I don't really listen to my voicemails anyway. So we should maybe describe the book at least twice, I would think.
Okay, just well, let's count the one earlier as one, and then you do one.
Okay, so I've written a description of this book, and I can kind of do that. And then we'll have you, I don't know, maybe I'll put 60 seconds on a big bad clock or something. 90, or 90 seconds on a mysterious clock, whatever you like.
I don't think it's necessary. I think I did.
I think people are going to really want this book described to them, you know?
Okay. Maybe, I mean, I already did a lot of work in the voicemail.
Yeah.
And I don't want to like have to describe the book twice.
Okay.
So maybe I can figure out some way to kind of fill in a few of the gaps I may have left in the voicemail.
Yeah, it's Oops All Segment, so you can do it any way you like.
Okay.
But I'm going to describe the book so people know what happened. But what were we talking about? Glaive Order?
We were talking about Glaive Order. We were talking about Sunny. We talked a little bit about work. We talked about kind of hiring.
No. That's not helpful.
Brandon Sanderson, Mistborn.
Oh, yeah.
The Alloy series.
Yeah. Tough to remember. Sonny's in this one. That's the
Sonny
point.
Sonny is in this one. Yep. Oh, Sonny is in this Halfpipe one. And.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Lightsaber
Thank
tea.
You. Yeah. No, I'm supremely unhelpful. Here's what
it's
I'm going to do.
It's been dense so far.
It's been pretty dense. I'm going to describe this novel, and then we'll have you describe this novel, just so people really feel like,
doesn't feel
if nothing else, even if they don't have a good time with this podcast or this episode, if someone said, well, did they describe the novel? They can be like, yes. These motherfuckers did describe the
thoroughly
novel.
And
yeah.
at length and yeah. many times.
And often.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to begin. I've written a little description of this novel, then we'll have you fill in the gaps. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. Here we go. A home is not just four walls around you and a roof over your head. A home is more than that. It is the clatter of plates before a family dinner. The crackle of a fire in the hearth as you settle down to read a good book on a winter night. It is laughter and love and warmth. And it can be ghosts. Some homes have ghosts. Some homes burn down and all the ghosts in them burn.
Whoa.
When you build a home back on the same spot, the ghosts come back because ghosts don't really burn like people do. That's what Marianne's home is. It's basically a ghost house that they burned down and then put back together, and the ghosts are still there. What a mistake. Babysitter's Club, Friends Forever, number 11. Welcome home, Marianne.
Okay, so I didn't think we needed to do so many book descriptions.
Yeah.
I thought we had done enough.
Yeah.
But you really fixated on the ghost stuff.
Yeah.
In a way where I feel like it actually would be probably be pretty useful.
Yeah.
If we describe the book.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think between the ghost stuff and between the voicemail, we're probably like halfway there.
Yeah, we're halfway there.
And I don't know if what I am about to do and what I've prepared is going to get us past the finish line.
Okay.
But it'll get us closer. It's like that paradox where you cover
half the distance. Achilles and the tortoise.
Yeah, to the finish line.
Yeah. You keep going halfway again, and you never get there.
Yeah.
Half of
So
half
I think that's kind
half.
Of where we're headed. Maybe this yep. is an episode-long book recap, where we just keep trying to chisel away at it. But
I would like that, because one half of this podcast likes telling the listeners what happened in the book.
Yeah.
And
I
am that one half.
Yeah, I prefer not to. I prefer them to read the book themselves.
Okay, so what do you want me to do? Put it 60 seconds on a big bad clock and have you describe this novel?
Won't be necessary. I've prepared a lullaby.
Perfect.
Which is something we did, if you recall, in the
portrait collection.
In the portrait collection.
But which was about time babies. Anyone who's read the portrait collection, it's even if you're new to this podcast, you'll remember that that the portrait collection at least is adjacent to the concept of adult time babies.
Yeah. And if that doesn't make sense to you,
yeah,
I don't know how I can help you. I don't know what else I can do for you, you know? You don't have to mute yourself. It's not a long song. It's just, okay. I'll just sing it and you can kind of react.
If folks have babies, for listeners who have babies,
oh, yes.
Now would be a good time to go wake them up.
Wake them up.
Wake them up.
Or young children, or if you're caring for someone who's an elderly person.
That's perfect. But maybe goes to bed early. Needs a good night's sleep.
Yeah.
Go wake them up, and then Tanner's going to sing them to sleep. Is that what's going to happen now?
I'm going to sing them to sleep with my description of this book. My second description of this book.
Great.
Net third. Okay. Gross third.
Okay.
Of the
And then we'll put 60 seconds on a big bad clock and I'll describe this book.
Sure. We earn maybe 90.
Let's do 60.
Okay.
Yeah.
Here we go. When your mom dies of cancer, make a trip and travel far. Anything your heart desires will come to you. Hit the pool to blow off steam. Try the mall and start to scheme. Then you'll ride upon a train to NYC. Dawn is kind. She wants to show you love. But you are not above manipulation. Start a fight and get the blues. Cry a ton and lose the tood. When your mom dies of cancer, that's when you grew.
That's beautiful.
Thank you.
That's beautiful. My baby went to sleep just from hearing that.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. It was
really sweet.
It was about Sonny.
It's about Sonny. This book's about Sonny.
And how much of a mean, nasty...
She's tough. She's difficult in this one. Do you want to put 60 seconds on the big bad
What's the thing
clock
we used to call people who are being mean and nasty? Crumb bum? No.
Glum plum?
No. I can't remember. You're the glum plum. You're always the glum plum.
Do you want to put 60 seconds on a big bad clock and I'll describe this novel?
I certainly want to do something that'll take 60 seconds.
Oh, why don't you check out 60 Second Burger Run? See what they're up to over there.
Yes, and I will. If I can get in, if they let me in.
Cool Math Games, you could go stand outside Cool Math Games' window with a boombox and ask them if they'll let you back.
You call it a boom box?
I said a boombox. I'm certain I said a boombox. Okay. Why do you think I said a boop box?
I think maybe your video hung a little bit, and it sounded like you said boom box.
I don't think I would.
They're encouraging me to skip all the ads and go premium now. I won't be doing that.
No.
And I actually like the ads, Cool Math Games. So. And they want me to log in to earn XP. And they want me to subscribe to their news. I'm going to say deny.
Deny. All right. That's good. That's good. So you're starting off in a fairly combative relationship with Cool Math Games. I mean, after what we've said about
them. They are starting me off in fairly combative. They put me on my back foot.
Yeah.
And now I'm using that momentum to swing forward with my mighty fists, and I'm going to hit play now.
Okay. And then could I describe the novel?
You ready?
Yeah.
In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay, here we go. I'm in.
Marianne and her family are ready to move back into their new home. The home that they lived in has risen like a phoenix from the flames, and it's now rebuilt on the spot where the barn used to be. And they move back in, and at the same time, Dawn and Jeff are coming to visit for a month to hang out in the new home. And guess who they bring? Sunny Winslow. She's trying to get away from her difficult situation because her mother has died, and she's trying to get a change of venue. Sunny is difficult. She's like really extra and out there and intense, and like just wants to like find Marianne a boyfriend, and like she doesn't want it, and like do all sorts of crazy shit. This culminates in her deciding that she's gonna like take the girls to sneak away and pretend that they're at the pool in Stony Brook and
you're
go
running
to New
low
York
on time
for a day against the wishes of Marianne's parents, and they do that and they go to New York and they barely make it back in time. Marianne's parents never find out. Dawn and Sunny have a huge
fucking
you're
out of time.
Fight,
shut
and
up.
And then Marianne
stop.
Comforts Sunny by saying, "My mom died too," and they make it up and Sunny
shut
goes
up.
Home. And also, Jeff is. Who cares about Jeff? There's a B
shut
plot,
up.
But whatever.
Shut up.
That's the plot. We
That's
did
the plot. Ellen jammed so much book into this book.
Yeah.
But we got it all in. Everyone had a plot line. Marianne
and there's
had
ghosts
a plot line.
In the
and
house.
And that's how they ended. And I guess, in a way, it's also sort of, go jump back to the Glaive Order, it's thematically related to that one book where Dawn convinced Marianne that there was a ghost in the house and never
in the
once...
Yeah, and never once told her that there was.
Told her that there was.
And still had an opportunity here.
Yeah, and still
didn't.
And then there's the house creaks a lot. And
yeah.
Sunny, in the same sort of malicious way, tells Marianne that it's just the house settling.
Then I began to hear the strangest noises, creaking sounds coming from all around. I'd heard them before as I was drifting off to sleep, but they'd never seemed so loud. "What's that?" I asked, startled. "It's the house settling," said Sunny. "My house makes the same sounds sometimes. It just means that the house is taking its shape, settling in." And so the new house is alive, isn't it? And it's probably the ghosts have made it alive, and the house is the spirits of the ghosts, and it's settling in, and it's taking its shape.
Yeah, I don't know how it works. It's a process that's kind of beyond my understanding, but it sounds like the house is alive, and it's probably the spirit of the ghosts that
yeah.
makes it alive.
Can I run a theory by you?
Yeah.
Listen to this passage. "My new bed was comfortable, and I had a new desk for homework. The closet was huge, especially considering that I didn't have many clothes to fill it. I pictured myself in the room, doing homework on a winter evening. My desk lamp would cast a warm glow as snowflakes danced outside." What does that sound like to you?
Snow globe.
It sounds like a snow globe, doesn't it? Doesn't it sound like a snow globe?
Sounds like you're describing a scene from a snow globe.
And do we not know that Anne M. Martin has earned the moniker the hand that shakes, because she is the hand that shakes
master.
The snow globe, and the snow globe is the symbol
oh, right.
of these girls forever being trapped in amber.
Yes.
And that this, here, as we wind this down, what does Anne do? She finds a way to put Marianne's house back together and put Marianne back inside it.
Forever.
And the house itself is alive.
Yeah. You try to run from the house and you can't.
You can't.
Because
you're back.
It's outsmarted you.
It's outsmarted you. Here's what Ellen says. "It was a lovely old farmhouse filled with history and with the vibrations. Please don't think I'm weird of all the people who'd lived there in the past."
Ellen said that?
Well,
please don't
and Marianne
think I'm weird?
Said it, but Ellen wrote it.
Okay, right. Okay.
The house is filled with vibrations. Yeah, I bet it is if you're shaking a fucking snow globe.
Wait, sorry. She's saying that the barn is filled with vibrations from all the people who've lived there in the past?
Yeah.
It was just animals, though.
Well, now it sounds like people live there.
I think those might be animal vibrations.
Okay.
That she's getting.
Okay.
Don't you think? And maybe
you
they're animal
it's like
ghosts.
It's ghosts of cows and stuff.
I think so.
Okay, we're goat ghosts.
Captain. Captain.
Captain is who?
It was a horse.
There's a horse called
They
Captain.
Saved the placards off the horse stalls. And
oh, yeah, we
Captain.
Know that. Yeah, for Jeff's room. Yeah.
And Jeff decides he wants the Captain placard. So it's the it's the spirit of Captain the horse whose vibrations we're feeling.
Yeah, that, who's been behind it all.
Oh, man. I love when I hit that sticky weed.
Okay, is this
feel those horse
Lord?
Vibrations just racking my body, you know?
Hell yeah, man.
I like to take a little ketamine.
Okay.
And crush it up and sprinkle it into my sticky weed.
Okay.
And just like...
Just wait for the dream horse to come.
Feel those horse vibrations. Hell yeah, man.
Hell yeah. And it's Weed Lord in Half Pipe, and they're...
I'm still here.
Should probably get a little bit of help.
with their substance abuse issues?
Yeah, I think so. It's going a little too far.
Yeah.
But so there's horse... So listen, folks, there's a lot going on here. There's horse vibrations. It's a fucking snow globe.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
And the house is alive.
This is why Ellen had to go back.
Yeah.
I have to go back.
Yeah.
She needed to pick up all this. There's a lot of loose ends we need to clean up.
There's a lot
you know?
Of loose ends. And she's like, I can only do it in the form of a California Diaries. It has a real Cali Diaries type of feel. Because Sonny Winslow has this energy that is chaos.
Yep.
Like, she just, like, they have a whole section where, like...
She's got dinosaur
she
energy.
Forces... They pick up, like, three, like, handsome ninth graders.
Yeah.
Take them to the mall.
Yeah, they go on a date.
They go on a date. This dude is like really into Marianne.
Well, he's not. I think like Sonny like somehow coerced him into being into Marianne. He's like a bit of a like dom or whatever because okay. He asked Marianne, he's like, don't you date that Logan Bruno dude?
Yeah.
And she was like, oh, no, not really anymore. And he was like, oh, cool. He just like wants to rub it in Logan's face.
Oh, that's what it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's trying to get Logan.
He wants to go back to Logan and be like, hey, man, I'm on a date with your girl.
Sore dude.
Yeah.
I hated him. His name was Cole West.
Cool name.
It's a cool name, and he's like, he's pretty swoony.
That's what Horace Greeley said.
What?
Cole West. It's a Horace Greeley joke.
I'm you're losing me.
He published an essay called Go West.
Okay.
So that's for the Greeley heads out there.
Yeah. We'll keep it in.
Yeah. Just for those for the Greeley heads. I went to the first college I went to was in a town in Colorado called Greeley. It was the University of Northern Colorado, and I went for two semesters before I
cool.
had to leave. And
why did you have to leave?
Because Greeley, Colorado, and sorry to anyone who lives in Greeley, Colorado, but Greeley, Colorado is one of the worst towns I've ever found myself living in America. It sucks. It's like all hillbilly cowboys, and it's a meat processing town. So every like Thursday night, they would take all the extra cow bits that they didn't turn into meat that you can eat, and they would burn them. There's like multiple factories around town. So every Friday morning you would wake up and your car was just covered in a thin layer of like
cow ashes?
Dust.
Jesus.
And it was just like, it's like Silent Hill. Like, why are we here? And then years later, they hired like a big agency to rethink their like town image and motto.
Yeah.
And the tagline they came up with for the town was Greeley built from the ground up. And it's like, you guys can't have ground up in your town tagline. You process meat. The whole industry of this town is processing meat. It was a nightmare. I hated living there.
Okay, well, so, apologies to anyone from Greeley, Colorado. I'm sure it's a nice place. And please
named after Horace Greeley, go west, young
podcast.
Man.
Yeah. And the guy's name is Cole West, and he has this exchange with Sonny where he says, hey, and then Sonny says, hey, what's up? And then Cole says, the sun. And then Sonny says,
hell yeah.
Funny you should mention that. That's my name, Sonny.
Oh,
cool.
That's good, too.
Sonny is cool as hell.
That is. You know what I would say if I were her? and say, hey, you know where this sunny sets?
Where?
In the west.
Okay. Oh, that's good. That's great. That's good. Fuck yes.
That's good, right?
Dang. Yeah. I should be saying that.
Winslow.
So Cole West is handsome, and he goes to a zombie movie with Marianne and his two like loser friends, and Dawn and Sunny, and he sits next to Marianne and whispers in her ear.
One is a chipmunk.
Oh yeah.
I think his name is Alex, and one has zits.
Yeah, that's actually my. Were you ready for that? I like doing a burn early.
I wasn't super ready for it, but I do have one. But I'd love to hear yours first.
Right before the break. And it's a burn on Alex. You want to hear it?
Yep.
So, like, Sunny is all over the fucking place. At some point, she decides that they're losers. And that's going too far in the other direction.
Well, Sunny's got a type. And her type is not handsome boys. And her type is not...
It's cars.
And
it's Sons of Cars.
And she brings up Carson at
one
point.
She's like, you would like Carson, and he's the a car. Son of the car. And he's a car. And Dawn is like, no, Marianne would not like a drifter from the beach. Like, you've been here for a couple weeks. Like, you've met Marianne, right?
She wouldn't like a drifter from the beach, and she wouldn't like a car.
Drifter from the beach who's a car.
Yeah.
Here's my burn. Ready? It's on Alex. So they're not losers, she went on. Fine, whatever. But still, we're not going out with them again. Okay with both of you? Definitely, I said, sighing with relief. Okay, said Dawn. But I did think Alex was kind of cute. Sure, if you like guinea pigs, Sunny mumbled under her breath.
Oh, yeah,
I almost laughed thinking of Alex's plump cheeks.
Yeah. So, it's just not Sunny's type. She likes cars.
Not Sunny's type. She likes cars.
She doesn't like chipmunks.
She doesn't like guinea pigs.
Guinea pigs, yeah. So...
what's your burn?
Win some, you lose some. My burn is an easy burn. It was easy level burn this week. There's a B plot where Jeff is struggling to...
reconnect with the Pikes, which is always what happens when he comes back from California.
Yeah. And he's also like, he's been invited to decorate his room, and he can't figure out how he wants to decorate it, and the Pike boys agree to help, and that is sort of how they connect. And it's a Pike-heavy book.
Yeah.
And it's always... a little bit of God mode, easy mode.
Yeah.
You hit the tilde key to pull up that like menu where you can type.
Yeah.
And you write like ID God mode.
Is this Doom?
And then your like guy's icon in the lower right, he gets like his eyes kind of like start glowing.
Yeah.
You know?
Is this Doom?
Yeah.
Okay. That's good that I get that reference. You know I can't play it because I get motion sickness.
You're such an old man. So this is a little bit God mode, easy mode, but my burn is Pike related.
Yeah.
Christy and I headed for the kitchen and finished putting dinner together. I set the table and poured out a glass of milk while Christy served the macaroni and cheese. Then we called the kids. It took 15 minutes to get everyone seated at the table and about 3.5 minutes for everyone to eat. May I be excused? Adam said as he rushed through his plate of food. No excuse for you, Jordan muttered.
I missed that. Yeah. That's a good burn.
And Ellen can trot out. That's sort of it's a Pete trick.
Yeah.
That's from the Pete bag of tricks, but Ellen can trot out a Pike burn every
now
and then.
No excuse for you is fucking great. I love that as a burn. Should we take a quick break?
That's what I thought you were going to say.
Yeah.
I was going to let you, but.
Great. Let's do it.
Okay, great.
And we'll come back. We've got, we'll have a robust discussion of this fascinating novel.
Probably not.
Everybody, it's Jack again with a brand new update about the delightful family mystery mobile game, June's Journey. I have been making real progress solving puzzles and getting stuff to put on my cool estate in the fun world of mystery, danger, and romance that's conjured up by June's Journey, a game set in the roaring 20s about a daring young woman named June who's traveling to her sister's estate to uncover scandalous family secrets and customizing her own luxurious estate island in the process. Tanner, unfortunately is still pretty convinced by the ad brief we were sent that he has actually been assigned on a real secret mission to uncover the killer of June's sister, Claire. The good news is that after some extremely frustrating conversations with the unbelievably patient people at the Central Connecticut Steamship Authority, I was able to clear up the fracas regarding the steamship that Tanner rented. But the bad news is that, if I'm reading this hastily scrawled missive correctly, he appears to have gotten himself horribly lost in a hedge maze in Würzburg, which I think is in Germany. According to the secret code on the back of the letter, which, to be clear, he's just written this part upside down, he is in good spirits and he is hot on the tail of Grandma Heath, and I shouldn't worry, but could I please send him 40 ducats in an unmarked envelope so that he can bribe the butler, which sounds both complicated and questionably legal. I'm going to keep you guys posted on this, but in the meantime, you can discover your inner detective just like I have when you download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. I have to go. There is apparently a carrier pigeon at the door with a new message from Tanner. And we're back. Have we described this novel enough?
We can probably take a couple more runs at it. Is there
we
any
want to
other
make sure
interesting
people know
ways?
What happens in the book?
Via haiku? What's haiku 575?
575.
And it always has to do with seasons.
Okay, I'll start. Mary Ann's house is back.
Mary Ann's house is back is six syllables.
Oh, yeah. Mary is two syllables, isn't it? Mary Ann's house, back.
Mary Ann's house, back. Yep. Seven.
So you do seven.
Reborn like a doe in spring. Because there has to be like like a seasons thing.
That's beautiful. The ghosts didn't burn.
The ghosts didn't burn. That's good. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Good. That's
and that's
beautiful.
And that's the thing about Oops All Segments.
Yeah.
It's
new segments too.
It's past, present, and future segments.
Yeah. And that's how we describe it sometimes.
Haiku descriptions could be a way we describe things in the future.
I want to draw your attention, Tanner, to something that I found this very scary. And Ellen Miles is just kind of throwing everything at the wall now because she's only got one book left to tell the story that she wants to tell.
Yep.
I'm sure you picked this up.
Probably not.
But I think we should walk through it for people who haven't necessarily been reading these novels as closely as we have.
Okay.
Here's the passage. I was up early, I said. We were too. My dad had just come into the kitchen, carrying a box marked odds and ends. Odds and ends. That was about all we owned anymore. Almost everything in our house had been destroyed by the fire. We'd salvaged a few things. But what can you really do with one half-burned shoe or a waterlogged book?
One half-burned shoe, never worn.
And Hemingway, eat your fucking heart out.
Yeah.
It's slightly longer.
I think it's just as clean though. It's just as evocative, you know?
Because it's about a half-burned baby, isn't it?
Well, no, it's about a three-quarters burned baby.
Yeah.
Cuz the other shoe is long gone.
Yeah.
And this one only half burned. So.
Yeah, and that makes it sadder. And Tanner's story is sadder, isn't it? Hemingway.
It's sadder. I once texted you in the wee hours of the night.
Yeah.
Because I was walking my dog outside of my apartment in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
And there was a miniature Poang chair sitting in the garbage outside my apartment.
Yeah.
And I texted you a photo of it and I said, is this good for a tweet? Baby Poang chair never assembled.
Said it. Yeah.
And you said, it's too morbid. And I never tweeted it.
It is, and I gave you good advice. I'm sure you picked up on this, but I'll just run through it for listeners.
Please.
My dad had just come into the kitchen carrying a box marked odds and ends, and then odds and ends is in all caps. And so if you've ever done a cryptic crossword puzzle.
I have. With you. You made me.
And for American listeners, cryptics are a type of crossword puzzle in the UK that are dying out. It's harder and harder to find them, but they still exist in most of the major British newspapers, and they're for nerds, and it's like it's lateral thinking, but it's the clues are lateral thinking.
You know how they do. You know how the Brits do. Oi, that guy's in Barney.
Cockney rhyming slang.
It's that.
It's like Cockney rhyming slang. Yes, it's the same kind of logic.
Yeah.
So odds is a classic cryptic signifier. So if you read this as a cryptic clue, odds and ends, which is in all caps here, the way to read that for a cryptic crossword
Bob's
puzzle,
and Ben's.
No, that's Cockney rhyming slang. The way that to read this, if you're doing a cryptic crossword puzzle, which I think is what Ellen wants us to do, is you see odds and then you see and ends, and you take the odd letters from the words and ends.
So, okay, so you take the odd letters from the words and
yeah, so
the
it's
end
odds
letter of the
colon
word.
And ends. And so what Ellen is saying is take the odd letters out of and ends. And what do you get?
Okay. Is this an O?
No, it's and ends.
And ends. A.
Yep.
D.
Yep.
N.
Yep.
S.
ADNS.
ADNS.
And ADNS is a very specific thing, Tanner.
Okay. What is it?
And it's scary and it's intense, and it's called the Automated Digital Network System.
What is that?
I found a site from 1998 that describes this automated digital network sequence. It is the Navy's primary tactical wide area network.
Okay.
It's the backbone to JMCOMS. It uses off-the-shelf protocols, processors, and routers to create a robust and flexible networking environment. I don't understand a lot of this stuff, but it goes deep. The site that, if you Google ADNS, the first site you get to is something called the Military Analysis Network.
You want me to do that?
You can if you want, man. I'm
ADNS.
Just telling you what. It's from their time. It's from 1998.
Okay. So I'm on FOS.org. Oh, here we go. Military Analysis Network. Yeah. Automated digital backbone of JCOMS. Furnishes autonomous digital interoperable joint and secure LAN/WAN management.
Yeah.
And
it's
control
it's
for
some deep
RF
military technological stuff.
Yeah.
Here's my question to you.
Automates all
like,
communication systems. So
why is Ellen
it's kind of natural it's like natural speech almost. Automates all communication systems.
Obvious way. Why is Ellen Miles asking us in this obvious way to look up ADNS? My dad had just come into the kitchen carrying a box marked odds and ends, and then she says odds and ends, which is ADNS.
Yep.
That was about all we owned anymore. Almost everything in our house had been destroyed by the fire.
All they own is the automated digital network system.
Right. And my final question to you on this topic is... Is that Claudia?
Okay. Well, oh.
Because Claudia, for new listeners, is like Daryl.
Strawberry.
No, the robot boy from the late 80s movie, Daryl.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
She's a cloud AI. She's a artificial intelligence, and this has been clearly established.
Why would they own Claudia, though?
No, I don't know. That was just my interpretation. Ellen doesn't suggest
that. I'm a little worried that, like, Ellen is revealing to us that, like, they're all Claudia. Like, they're all living in the machine, you know? It's like the Matrix.
Right.
Is that conceivable?
It's all... Almost everything in our house had been destroyed by the fire. All we had was this. ADNS.
All we have? Jack, I mean, is this.
Part of what she might be saying is that the fire was deliberate to destroy whatever this is, right?
Right.
The fire was designed to take out the ADNS.
Interesting theory, Jack. I don't know if it's Claudia. I don't know if we're all Claudia. We're all in the cloud AI now.
Right.
And maybe it goes back to the snow globe. Maybe the snow globe is the name of the ADNS that we all sort of exist inside of now. That's their like code name for it, the snow globe.
Right.
And it's the new, Anne lost control of the girls.
Right.
And they were freed from the amber that they've been trapped in so far. That natural process has come to an end. So Anne has gone to the Navy to develop a new way to trap these girls artificially and digitally in an advanced digital network system called the Snow Globe. And we're all in the Snow Globe.
I think that's what it is. And Ellen's just frantically trying to get this all out before her time with the Babysitter's Club comes to an ignominious close.
Jack.
Yeah.
I want to introduce a segment.
Okay.
And it's about a young boy that we like,
okay,
and it's us cataloging or tracking him through his life and his many lives and the ages, and it's called
We Have to Go Back, Kate.
Tracking Jackie.
Tracking Jackie.
We Have to Go Back!
And it's a classic. And for folks who don't know, Tracking Jackie, also known as the Lord of the Harvest in the Friends Forever series, is a boy who has lived an infinity of lives, because every time he in our world appears to trip or fall or have some kind of an accident, he blips out of time and reality and lives an entire lifetime on an alternate universe, and lives and dies and comes back into his body in that same moment. And he is known in the Friends Forever series as the Lord of the Harvest because he has harvested an infinity of lives, I think including all of us.
I think so, yeah.
And that's what we know about him. And he makes a brief appearance in this book.
Very, very, very brief, yeah.
Sorry, this radio novel.
It was late June, which meant that Christy was caught up in softball. She coaches a team called Christy's Crushers, made up of little kids in the neighborhood. They have a blast. It was awesome. Jackie Radowski made the most incredible catch to end the game in extra innings. Blip. It's the near future.
Okay.
And a young man, 27, out of Connecticut, came up in the farm league, played for the Hartford Yard Goats.
Okay.
For a little while before getting drafted into the...
So he's actually...
Yankees.
Pretty late in his career.
What did I say?
27.
21.
Okay.
And now he's kind of a utility player on the Yankees, middle of the lineup. Not super reliable, but just reliable enough. And it's the World Series, and they're playing... Who's the Yankees' rival? It's the Hartford Yard Goats.
Okay, yeah.
And it's this near future, and baseball has sort of undergone this thing where it's like European soccer.
Okay, they play
where you can kind of get
that are lower.
Relegated.
Yeah, okay.
To like a lower division if you don't play well enough.
Yeah.
And you can rise up if you do play well enough. So the Arizona Cardinals are gone. They're AAA now, and the Hartford Yard Goats are a Major League Baseball team. And it's the World Series. It's Game 7. Extra innings. It's the, let's say, 11th inning.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the Yard Goats are up to bat. It's the middle of the lineup. Jackie Radowski steps up to plate. And he gets a pitch that he likes. He sees it coming. He feels good about it. Makes contact. Drills the ball down the...
left field line.
The left field line. And it's just in.
Okay.
Looks like it's going to roll out. Just manages to stay in. Kind of dribbles to a stop. The left field outfielder grabs the ball, throws it in. But by then, Jackie's already knocked in a ribby.
Okay.
And tied the game.
And what base is he on?
Then he made it to first base.
He made it to first. Okay.
And then the next guy strikes out, and the inning's over.
Okay.
Inning 12.
Okay.
Still an extra innings. Game is
so
tied.
We're getting this whole game from you.
Should I go further back?
No, I'm in.
Jackie tied it up.
I riveted it.
With that ribby.
Beautiful.
You know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Inning 12. Jackie takes his place in the outfield, right field. And the Yankees, New York Yankees, A-Rod, Derek Jeter.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Babe Ruth.
Okay. It's like Field of Dreams, basically.
That's another thing about future baseball.
It's kind of like Field of Dreams.
They kind of bring back a lot of old favorites, like with a mixture of cloning and holograms.
Okay.
You know? So you can draft anyone from history if you can afford the Supermax on them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And the Yankees, they can afford anyone. So
yeah.
A-Rod gets up. He strikes out.
Okay. Classic A-Rod.
Classic A-Rod. Derek Jeter gets up to base, and he hits a high one.
Okay.
And it's sailing out to center field. That's not where Jackie is, though. He's in right field.
Okay.
Okay. You with me?
No, I'm with you. The Yacht Goats are on the field. Yep.
Center fieldsman fumbles the catch. A-Rod makes it to second base.
Okay. I've got a picture of this in my mind, my mind palace.
Babe Ruth steps up, hits a kind of dribbler to the shortstop, manages to make it to first. A-Rod stays still at second.
Okay.
He's not going to risk running by that shortstop.
No. This is like D&D, but for baseball.
Who's another famous Yankee? Lou Gehrig.
Okay.
Gets up there. He hits the ball. It goes out into the outfield. Everyone advances. Bases loaded.
Yeah.
Two outs in the 12th inning.
Okay.
Jackie Rudowski's out in right
field.
And
the Yard Goats are ahead by one?
That's tie. Yes, the Yard Goats are ahead by one. Yeah.
Okay.
No. Yes.
Okay.
And Jackie got that one. Yes, yes.
So we need the Yankees to fail here.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Ty Cobb gets up there.
Yeah.
Maybe he's the one who doesn't wear shoes. Is that right?
Sure. Why not? He's a pitcher.
Daryl Strawberry gets up there.
Yeah.
And he's high as a kite on LSD.
Okay.
But it actually helps him play better.
Okay.
And it's a smoker right down the center. And he hits it again, makes great contact. But that old hickory. Jeez, I'm really laying out some good baseball terminology here.
No, this is very good baseball, and it's why I haven't cut you off sooner. Yeah, I'm riveted.
And he makes solid contact, and it's just sailing towards that right field.
Yeah.
And it's headed right for that big green monster.
Mm-hmm. Okay, it's
Yankee
in Boston
Stadium.
Okay, yeah. And in this future, the Yankee Stadium is called the Big Green Monster.
Yeah. Well, they took the wall from Boston. Well, Boston's a radioactive wasteland at this point.
Okay. Yeah. That's the only thing that survived.
Yeah. And
it's a tribute.
They win, and it's a tribute. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
And the ball is sailing towards this big green monster, and Jackie's there, and he's like, am I going to get this thing?
Yeah.
And he's losing it in the lights a little bit. He's walking back. He's trying to shade his eyes. He's got his glove up. Looks like it's gonna go over the wall, so he's like, I gotta do it, I gotta make a leap for it. He plants his feet, he makes a run at the wall, sticks his cleat in the wall, and he gets a little air. He's just reaching up. The ball is coming right for his glove.
Yeah.
And blip. See, the score was tied 2-2. The other team was up with two outs. The count was 2-3 when Buddy hit one down the left field line. And smiling, I let Christy ramble on, spouting numbers and baseball terms that meant nothing to me. Some things never change.
Oh, so Ellen is not even going to let us know what happened.
Ellen's not even going to let us know. And this is kind of the new thing about Jackie is he gets so close to these moments of release and redemption, and then Ellen likes to snatch them away from him.
Are we also, and I've kind of lost track of how Jackie's mythology works. Are we to think that he died in that moment?
I think
the baseball Jackie, the future Jackie, that was when he died.
I think he probably runs up that wall to catch the ball and catches it.
Yeah.
And has kind of a hard landing coming down.
Right.
And shake, like something kind of feels a little off in his torso when he hits. He's like, ah,
and he wakes up as the boy. Yeah.
And then like 3 years later or something.
Okay.
It's revealed that like he had like a slip disc or like a hernia or something like that.
Okay. Yeah.
And it just like goes completely out of control.
Right.
And then he dies.
Wow.
So if you have a hernia, take care of it.
Please, guys, this is a PSA.
You don't want to let that stuff sit.
You do not want to let that stuff sit.
That can kill you.
So that's fucked up. And it's fucked up. And
that's what Ellen likes to do, though, with Jackie.
This is Marianne Baseball Idiots.
Marianne Baseball Idiots. And it sounds like it's not from all...
Because it was this incredibly powerful moment that we could have gotten some closure on and Jackie could have gotten some closure on. But Marianne failed to understand the essential end of that story.
Yeah. Well, and it's Marianne hernia idiot, too, because those things, gosh, you got to take care of that.
They'll really fuck you up, and you really need to get that taken care of.
Yeah. And it sounds like from the feedback I got, it wasn't Tanner Greenring Baseball Idiots. It sounds like
it was Tanner Greenring Baseball Genius.
Yeah, Baseball Genius.
Fucking
Thank
riveting.
You. Thank you.
Yeah.
I've watched a lot of baseball movies.
Yeah. So they go to New York this week. They go to New York. They sneak to New York. It's the most dangerous travel crime ever committed.
You sneak New York.
Unique New York. Okay. Thank you for interrupting me to say that. Thank you. Can I say thank you to you?
Yep.
For interrupting me to say that.
You sneak New York.
It was worth it. It was worth it.
Yeah.
It pulled me completely off of what my train of thought, but boy, was it worth the ride. They go to New York. They sneak to New York, and they never get caught. And Ellen Miles does a funny little thing where she's like, she has Marianne say when they get back and they don't get caught, like, I realized that I should never do this.
Yeah.
Because
no one should do this.
And no child should do this. And my God. But it's like normally they would never get away in the Babysitter's Club. They would never get away with a crime this bad. They go to New York for the day. They leave a note for Sharon that's like, oh, we're going to the pool. And they tell one person. Ellen's like leaving all these breadcrumbs for like, if you're a bad kid, they're like, because this goes nowhere. Yeah. They're like, we remember to tell one person.
Find someone who's
Stacey.
Sympathetic, who like loves New York.
Yeah.
It would just be excited that you're going there and tell them.
And Stacey's like, oh, I wish I could come, but I have a babysitting job. Yeah, right. Like, Stacey wouldn't fucking cancel a babysitting job to go to New York.
Up here? I'm already there. Even, like, a grizzled old, like, New York cab driver says to them at some point, he's like, you girls are too young.
Should not be here hailing a cab.
To be alone.
You're
13-year-olds. Yeah.
They're so dangerous, and they have a dangerous time in New York, and they go to clubs, and...
They go to clubs, they go to the Zingies of New York, I think is how it's described.
Called Canal something.
Canal Jeans. That's where you and I used to work.
And they come back, but no one catches them.
They're right in our old stomping grounds.
So they spent a lot of time in Soho, and here's my question for you.
Maybe they went to Botanica. Maybe the club they were talking about was Botanica.
Oh yeah, that's the world's dankest bar where Tanner and I used to and the rest of the major media company used to go there every night after work. Did they go to New York to find the Scholastic headquarters?
Oh, they were right there, weren't they? They were on Broadway.
Right there,
Broadway. Because
Ellen
like...
triangulates on exactly where they are, and they're right at the Scholastic HQ. Here's a description of what they see in that area, Tanner.
Yeah.
We walked for a long, long time up one street and down another. I can't even begin to tell you all the things we saw, but here's a partial list. an Italian bakery that looked as if it had been there for 100 years. The bread smelled delicious. Okay. As we walked by. That's not a fucking bakery. That's the Scholastic headquarters.
It's Parisi's.
Okay, oh, it's Parisi's. Scholastic, the sandwich place we used to get lunch out at work. That's possible too. My thing is that it's the Scholastic headquarters, and it's fucking where the bread is coming from.
Yep.
And it's bread all the way down, and I thought you would like that.
It's called the Bread Factory.
But we could, no. Before we could talk about whether it's the sandwich place that we used to.
Parisi's. I don't think you and I actually ate there that often. You certainly didn't, because I think like the signature.
They
dish
had
was
an
like,
eggplant thing that I could eat.
Oh, okay.
And I was scared because it was only firemen. I would have to go. Sometimes I had to go and order there. Like it would be my turn to order at Parisi's, and you have to. You had to go in person.
Yeah.
And it was all firemen. And it felt like it was firemen who worked there somehow too, even though they were clearly sandwich shop workers. And you like there was like a way of interacting with them that like you want to be cool for the firemen.
And you want to be confident. And when you're ordering like a potato sandwich or whatever.
Yeah, and I was like,
and it's got like a name on the menu.
Oh, can you hold the cheese? And I don't want any eggs in it. And is the bread vegan? And it was all like dudes with like their fireman hats would still be on.
And the sandwiches are all called things like meatball sub,
yeah,
chicken parm sub, and then the eggplant one is like the pussy's banquet. For frilly little ladies only.
Yeah, that was tough. But no, I don't think that's what it was. I don't think it's Parisi's. I think Scholastic.
Scholastic headquarters.
And and Ellen's bringing them back, and it smells like bread.
It would smell like bread.
And that's
the epicenter.
Marianne's going back to the source.
And that's where the Leviathan lives, and he smells like bread. Because he's down there at the core.
Yeah.
You know? Of course it's bread, because it's all bread.
It's all bread, and it's all bread all the way down and all the way up again.
Jack.
Very powerful.
Soup's all segments.
We can have to go. Whatever we want, we got
to
go.
We have to go, but it is Soup's all segments.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'll catch him singing along with his goofy smile on his face. Mm-hmm. I love my dad, but I have to say it can be downright embarrassing to see him mouthing words to some groovy tune, and it's Vibe Check. And what's the groovy tune?
Okay. So let's hone in on a decade.
The only real alternative is Easy Light, the station my dad listens to. It plays all these dopey songs that he listened to when he was a teenager. So easy listening. That is, let's see, he's what, probably 40 in 2000.
Sure.
So he was a teenager 25 years earlier in 75.
Okay.
So let's say late 70s.
Maybe he's listening to television's Marquee Moon. That would be cool as fuck, dude.
That's almost too cool, though. I don't even. What I mean by that is I don't know what you mean, so it must be too cool.
We'll play a clip.
Yeah. Maybe it's like what's the guy who gave birth to Lisa, not Lisa Loeb, the other one? Or maybe it was Lisa Loeb? No.
You're gonna have to give me more than that. That's a deeply cryptic.
His name is like
describing someone. The guy who gave birth to Lisa Loeb.
It's not Lisa Loeb.
Is all I have. Yeah. It's just like not helpful.
But it's not even Lisa Loeb that I'm thinking of. His name is like Zagat's Moondust or something like that.
Frank Zappa.
Frank Zappa.
What? Okay.
Who's his daughter?
Dweezil Zappa?
No. He's got a daughter who's a musician.
It could be Kraftwerk.
Oh, Kraftwerk is interesting.
It would be cool if it's Kraftwerk. Because they're fucking around.
It's sort of like math rock before math rock existed.
Yeah. If we just have to accept that Mr. Spear was cool. And he was cool because he's like dating like Sharon in high school. That's cooler than I was. I wasn't dating a damn Sharon in high school.
I wasn't dating anybody in high school.
No.
So it's cooler than me unless you think it's cool to not date anybody.
Right.
I was playing a lot of Rainbow Six. Is that cool?
No, not at all. And so maybe he's listening to Kraftwerk. So maybe it's that there's a station in Stony Brook that plays Kraftwerk, like Trans-Europe Express.
Maybe it's wasn't it was Brian like, Eno kicking in the late 70s?
Fuck yeah.
Maybe it's like some real
it's like music for
atmospheric
airplanes.
It's Brian music Eno for stuff.
We'll play a clip.
That's cool.
That's what it is. It's music for airplanes.
That's what he's bopping his head and like singing along to. Just like tonal, atmospheric music.
That is cool. And Mr. Spear, new respect.
Yeah.
He's just like fucking jamming out to Kraftwerk and fucking Brian Eno like Eno. Ambient like soundscapes. I love that.
He's making up words to it.
That's very cool. Tanner, we must leave. We must go.
Okay.
Don't we have to go? We gotta go.
I'm fine, actually. I got all
night. We gotta get out of here.
I'd love to keep hanging out.
We must go.
Okay.
And we must leave, and we also have to get out of here.
We didn't talk about this cover. It's bad.
Oh, so it's a segment. It's called... Let's complain about the covers.
It's bad. So bad. It's a poorly taken photo.
And they're like, fuck, we forgot. Like, we did a photo shoot with all the girls, but we forgot that this book has Dawn and Sunny in it.
Right.
And so they, I don't even know if it's the same Marianne from last week.
Doesn't look like her.
Yeah. And then they have two blondes who look the same.
And they just had them, like, sit in front of a bright flash. And they're like, all right, that's good.
It's not good.
It's like a Polaroid photo.
It's a bad cover for this book.
Anyway, it's bad. And now I know what Sunny looks like, and she looks
bad.
Know, sort of like how I expected her to look.
We gotta go. We have to go.
Okay.
We must.
And you're ready to go, huh?
Well,
I've
got dinner waiting for me. We're watching the Great Pottery Throwdown.
You guys watching new GBBO?
No, I just told yes. But now yes, I did watch it, but they release episodes once a week, and so I only watch one.
You liking it?
Yeah, of course I fucking like it. Yes, of course I do. He's a very famous British comedian.
I thought he was an annoying British comedian. He was on that show Little Britain, right?
Yeah.
And I thought that show was like a dumb, gross out show. And I was like, oh, this guy sucks. And then he was
perfect.
So funny and charming on GBBO.
He's also like the other guy who is from The Mighty Boosh. He comes from a world of like absurdist British comedy.
Yeah.
So the two of them together on Great British Bake Off is like, they ratcheted it up. And it's very funny.
Early favorites?
I can't remember who I liked, honestly.
I like the guy. Jamie
I try
can,
not to get too attached early on.
Jamie can attest to this. I laughed maybe the hardest I've ever laughed in my life.
Yeah.
When Dave, age 30, boring white guy, showed his design for his Tom DeLonge Blink 182 cake.
They did celebrity cake. They did cakes that were like to make to look like celebrities. The funniest and most viral one is Ziggy's, like a melted Ziggy Stardust. But this one dude,
it was supposed to be someone you admire.
No, it was, yeah, like make a cake that looks like someone you admire. And this is like, this is what it's like to be in my house from both sides. Like, he showed his diagram and I was like, it's Tom DeLonge. And Sarah was like, what the fuck are you talking about? And I was like, it's Tom DeLonge. It's
when
Tom DeLonge.
I saw the diagram, I just thought it was honestly the funniest thing I'd ever seen in my life. And I was like choking, like wheezing, crying, laughing at it. And Jamie was like worried about me. God, it was so funny. Ugh.
It's so good. You guys have to watch the Great British Bake Off. And also, what we are watching now is the Great Pottery Throwdown.
I've heard it's good.
Bake Off, but it's pottery. It's pretty
good. We got burned by that garden. Did you guys watch that gardening one from last summer? I think everyone was a little hungry for GBBO content, so they did a gardening show, and it was bad.
Okay.
So now I'm a little gun-shy around GBBO spinoff.
Pottery Throwdown is solid. It doesn't rise to the heights of Bake Off. This is all staying in, folks. You all listen to this.
Yeah.
Often I cut these types of conversation out, but this is...
Now you listen to it.
Now you heard it. But we must go. We really must go.
I'm going to watch
the Great British Pottery Throwdown. What are you going to do?
Well, it's like 10 p.m. here. I'll probably go to bed.
Okay. Tanner's going to get an early night. What I would love to ask you as a listener is to please support...
Me? I don't listen.
I've pivoted to speaking to our listeners.
Okay. I don't listen what to I would this like shit.
Fuck you. I would love to ask you as a listener to support our show by subscribing to our Patreon. You do get another show, and it is good, and we put a lot of effort into it, and we do sing the descriptions. But even if you don't need another show, it is a good way to support this show and to keep us doing what we're doing, which takes a lot of time and effort and energy. For just $5 a month, you can keep us going over at patreon.com/BSCCpodcast.
Keep us going for 2 more weeks.
To do that.
Because we are almost out of books. And then it'll sort of fund our soul releasing ceremony.
Yes. Yeah. And we need that. That's very expensive. Birds are not cheap.
Birds aren't cheap.
Buy our merch, bit.ly/BSCC merch. We've got t-shirts and totes and all sorts of other good things. You can also join our Facebook group over at Babysitters Club Facebook page, and then hit the group called Baby Nation, which is where all the action happens. And I can't emphasize this enough. Everyone is nice and good and also nice in there.
Not everyone. Jack's in there, and he kind of has a bad attitude sometimes.
We're all in there. We all hang out. We have weekly discussion threads. It's a fun time. Please do join the Facebook group. Rate and review our show on Apple Podcasts. It helps us to move through the rankings, and it helps people to discover us who might not know about our show. All that remains now is for me to say that this week we did read a novel, and it was called Babysitter's Club Friends Forever, number 11. Welcome home, Marianne. Next week, we're going to be reading a fantastic-looking novel called Babysitter's Club Friends Forever, number 12, Claudia and the Disaster Date.
And it's the last Friends Forever.
It's the last Friends Forever. Fuck my life.
And it's the second-to-last Babysitter's Club book ever.
Yeah. And there's a fabled...
Have we confronted that at
Chainmail Babysitter's Club book.
Okay. Someone in the group keeps encouraging us to do something, and maybe it's the Chainmail book.
There's something. But it really is the last. It's the end. And we're all going to
And we
die.
Say that a lot, and it's Boy Who Cried Wolf, but now it's really the end, and there's no more Babysitter's Club books.
It's Boy Who Cried Fame Wolf.
And we're going to die.
Yeah.
We're all going to die.
It's over. And it's over for us. So look forward to that. In the meantime, I would like to remind you that my name this week has been Jack Alexander Shepard.
My name is Tanner Greenring.
Please do remember to round off the corners in your bedroom, drown all your dolls, call your senator, and demand your right to bear time, and do not forget to let Daddy love you as much as I do. Remember the Delaneys. Remember the Trip Man. Take your dream horse through that maze. Claudia is wearing a bra now, and the way she talks, you would think that boys had just been... invented. In 86, and in a flying world, the first book of what became a cult, and now it's time, Babysitter's Club.
So, damn what?
Salty. Turn that frown upside down. I need a good attitude from you.
It's been stressful.
Well, this is the your reward for working hard.
Work, more work.
Yeah, Babysitter's Club work.
That was a HeadGum podcast.